We began teaching along, actually the Lord gave me three words. And the three words, he said, I'm going to give you three words with the same first letter. And they were this: fervent, fresh, and full. And we began to teach on that. We didn't get all the way through because we just kind of moved out here and moved over there. But we're going to do some more this coming Sunday, according to what Pastor told me. So we're going to go on into that. But I want to connect that with where we are tonight. Pastor James, by the Spirit of God, has been teaching out of Revelations to us. Amen? So we're going to do a little tie-in that will tie in with the fact God wants you fervent. He wants you to have a fresh anointing. And he wants to stay you full of his Spirit. Amen? Amen. Okay, here we go. You understand that Revelations is speaking of seven churches. The seven churches of Revelation. Jesus speaking. Paul had a revelation on the Isle of Patmos. And he penned, by the power of God, he penned the book of Revelations. Amen? And if you know anything about it, the seven churches was the church at Ephesus, which is characterized as the works church. Smyrna was the persecuted church, and Pastor's been talking about that. Pergamos, he's been in that, was the deceived church. Thyatira was the worldly church. Sardis was the traditional church. Laodicea was the lukewarm church. And then the final church was the church of Philadelphia. That was the good church. What do you mean, Tony? The Lord didn't say nothing negative about it. It was the Word church. It was a church that they practiced the Word. It was a church that they fed on the Word. They lived the Word. They abided in the Word. And while I'm there, Brother Paul made reference to something the Lord said to him while we were praying earlier. And here's what it is. It fits right here. Brother Paul heard the Spirit of God say that we need deposits of the Word of God every day. Every day. You need a deposit of the Word of God in your life every day. You need some of this every day. You, like we said this past Sunday morning, you can't live off stale manna. You got to have fresh manna every day. Every day. Every day. The church at Philadelphia lived on fresh manna. But we're going to examine something about the church at Ephesus tonight and tie it in with the fact God wants you fervent. He wants you to maintain a fresh anointing, and he wants you to stay full. We talked about this Sunday morning over there where it says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs make melody in your heart to the Lord. The Greek says, but be ye being full. It's a continual filling. It's a continual staying full that God desires of you. So let me read you some stuff we have here about the church at Ephesus, because we're going to go and we're going to talk about your first love. Amen. Amen. Okay, the first church the Lord addressed in Revelations was the church at Ephesus. And it was the capital city of the Roman province referred to as, they call it Asia Minor. Amen. Now Ephesus, we have an epistle that Paul wrote by the Spirit of God to the church at Ephesus. And it's a letter to us and a letter to them at that time, which spoke of being mature. It spoke of knowing who you were and what you had in Christ. It was a very, in other words, in the beginning, Ephesus was a mature church, and it was maturing more and more to the things of God. But just like anything else, a generation later, maybe 56 years later, on Patmos, when John got this from the Lord, Ephesus had been in the body for like 50 years, but they had gotten away from their first love. We're going to talk about that. Amen. So Ephesus, going on, says, the historians tell us that Ephesus had grew to over 10,000 members. And for a church of that day, of course, it was huge. It was known as a spiritual, mature, and very successful. And it was most notable to the Lord for the works it did for him in that day. Amen? Stay with me. The book of Ephesians, which Paul wrote to this church, demonstrates just how mature this body of believers were. Amen? They were a mature church. Now I'm going to read, and I want to read Revelations 2:2-7 from a translation called Weymouth, Weymouth. I want to read you that out, that translation of this. Let me find it. Hang on. Let me go to the beginning. I put a lot of stuff in here sometime, but we got it. Here we go. Okay, this is Weymouth's translation of Revelations 2:2-7. Listen to this. I know your doings and your toil and patience and suffering. And I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, but have put to the test those who say that they themselves are apostles, but are not. And you found them to be liars. And you have endured patiently and have borne burdens for my sake. You've never grown weary. Two words, remember here as I go forward. They were patient and they were not weary in well-doing. Going on down. Yet I have this against you, that you no longer love me as you did at first. You no longer love me as you did at first. Ever since Pastor James, and I'm talking about me, I've been in the Lord since November of 1980. I have been re-examining my own personal life. Do I love the Lord, the things of God, as much as I did when He was my first love? You need to ask yourself that question. The Holy Spirit, through John, said, I have this against you. No longer do you love me as you did. Where's my mic again? That's all right. Be mindful, therefore, of the height from which you have fallen. Repent at once and act as you did at first, or else I will surely come and remove your lampstick out of the place unless you repent. Yet this you have in your own favor. You hate the doings of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Let all who have ears to hear heed to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the privilege of eating the fruit of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. I'm going to get to my notes, but let's sit here a minute. I can remember how I was before I came to Christ. Some of my personal testimony is I was a backslider running from God. God dealt with me supernaturally more than one time in my backslidden state, particularly before everything in my life fell apart. I lost my family. I lost everything. I got suicidal. Just a lot of bad stuff. I was doing a lot of bad stuff. Okay? But in November of 80, when Sissy and I went into Storefront Church uptown here and we decided it was time to get it right, and we did, and he'd been dealing with me for a while, and her too, I found out later. I was so happy for a new life. Ask yourself, do you maintain that happiness that God has done so much for you? Do you remember where He brought you from? Do you remember where you were before He came into your life? You need to keep a mental a freshness of that, knowing where He brought you from, knowing what He did for you to give you another start, because I had lost everything. I had no desires. When Cece and I were together, I was scared to death. I didn't want none of that mess that I just went through to happen again. I was scared. But that day when we said yes back to God, I know I did. I was a prodigal. She had never got saved. I know my whole life started changing. The air smelt fresher. The grass looked greener, though it wasn't green. It was brown because it was November. But I remember the sky was bluer. It was a burden that left me. Amen. We need to remember where we came so we appreciate what we have. Or we'll get stale, brothers and sisters. And it all goes back to what we've been teaching on Sunday morning. You have to have a fresh anointing. You have to maintain a fervent spirit toward the things of God. And you have to stay full of His Spirit. And as we said, the parallel to Ephesians where it says, be being full there, is in Colossians 3:16, where it says, let the Word dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You need the Word and the Spirit in your life. I asked you this night, do you have the love for the Lord you did when He was your first love? You know, when He was your first love. I have been examining myself, and I've been truing up myself. I've been truing myself up actually for a couple of years now. But I am more determined now to get to the place that I know 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 I'm putting Him first in every arena of my life. He wants us to do that. If we were honest, and we're going to read some stuff we got written here, so we're going to go on forward here. Okay, remember what I just read? It said, remember from where you have fallen, this is the King James, and do the first works. Let me say this. Jesus had many good things to say about the church at Ephesus, and He brings correction only after He acknowledges the right things that they had done. You got that? You know, you want to get somebody to listen to you? Tell them the good stuff. See, the Lord's been talking to me about doing more of that. Tell them the good before you start bringing all the correction to them. You know, you got this going for you. You're doing this right. And Jesus was telling the church at Ephesus, you got this going right. You got that going right. But this was just one thing. Amen. Okay, Jesus said, I know your works. These are the works which resulted from their decision to believe and receive the Word of God and base their lives upon it. By faith, the church at Ephesus put the Word to work in their lives. And these were not dead works or works done without faith, because Jesus would not have commended them for dead works. Did you get that? They were doing good works. He commended them for the good works they were doing. Amen. Jesus said the church at Ephesus was patient. That means they were consistent under pressure. They did not buckle when the going got tough. They were consistent in their stand on the Word of God under adverse circumstances. They were also doctrinal correct. They could not bear those who were evil, and they tested those who claimed to be the apostles. In other words, they did not blindly follow. Now let's back up what I just said. Are we just the good works He said they had established? Are we patient and consistent with patience under pressure? Just asking. Do we buckle when going gets tough? Or do we consistently stand on the Word of God? These are things we need to ask ourselves daily. Amen? You with me? Okay, in Revelations 2:3, listen to this. Jesus commends them for not growing weary. You know, Galatians 6:9 says this, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Amen? There's a verse in Hebrews 10, it says, do not cast away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. Amen? God don't want me and you getting weary and well-doing. If you've been getting weary in your well-doing, you need to get back in the presence of God and get your fervency and get that fresh anointing and stay full or get full again of the presence of God. Amen? If you're weary, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. That's what God's told us in this word right here. Amen? You know, how many times have we, and I'm talking about me too, found ourselves weary and doing well and standing? Well, God, the manifestation hadn't come yet. And immediately you do that. Listen to me. Immediately you do that, on the inside you feel a pull. And the Holy Spirit said, now what are you doing here? Are you wavering? What are you doing here? Huh? Don't be weary in well-doing. Amen. Don't be weary in well-doing. Amen. Okay. Going on. Let me read you something. All the good things we do mean absolutely nothing if we leave our first love. That's a pretty strong word, ain't it? But it's true. Jesus told them at Ephesus. They were doing some good stuff, and they weren't dead works. They were good works. But he said, I've got this one thing against you. You've walked away from your first love. Amen? Amen. We get so locked into works mentally that we often neglect the most important concern of all. Listen to this. Our personal relationship with Jesus, our first love. In the 40-something years that I've been a Christian, I know that's happened to me. I get busy. I used to, when I first started, I was a deacon in the church and I was steady hitting the doors. Now, in the beginning, I was fired up wanting everybody to get it. But over a course of time, I had to catch myself, or it was becoming a work-only thing. I wasn't doing it out of my heart of love to God. And that's where we're at tonight. We need to do what we do out of our love for Him. Are you with me? Amen, amen. Amen. Amen, amen. Now let's talk about first love. In the natural, and you know, I had a few girlfriends. Thank God I married her. She's been my wife for 43 years going on now. But if you remember your first love back in the days? You know, you would do this and that for that one. You had to stay with them. You wanted to be with them all the time. You wanted to please them. You tried to look your best for them. You tried to do the best you could for them because they were your first love. Right? Right. See, that's what the Lord wants us for Him. He wants us to give Him our all. He wants us to maintain it. All I have is You, Lord. All I desire is You, Lord. All I want is You, Lord. All I need is You, Lord. Amen? Amen. Now think about this in the natural. Talking about a first love like a person. You want to please that other person more than you do yourself. I just said that. Up to that point, most of us are pretty self-oriented. But all of a sudden, we begin to have an overwhelming desire to please someone else to the point of total self-sacrifice. Did you hear that? We do. You know, it's all about me. What me? And then we get somebody in our life that it's all about them. You know, I can't live without her or him. I want to please him or her with everything I have. You get away from your own motives about yourself. Amen? Amen? And you cannot think or talk about anything else. And you don't want to do or be anywhere else except in that person's presence. You ever been there? I have. You know, I had little puppy loves, they called it when we were kids. Wanted to be right there with them. Huh? Didn't you? Well, I got to be there. I got to go. Where you going? My girlfriend's. You ain't going crazy. No, I ain't going crazy. You know, huh? No, I'm going to her house. I'll sit with her. I got to be there, you know. Well, see, the Father, wants us to have that same love for Him. He wants us to just, I got to get in His presence. Amen? He wants that for us. Amen? I'm going to read you this statement. Your first love is such an intense thing that it begins to alter the way you view reality and you change your priorities. That's true. That's the way it should be with the Lord. Are you with me? That's right. You should have your priorities focused totally on Him. Amen. Now, this is a fact. No Christian, especially if she or he is into works, wants to acknowledge that they have not allowed the Lord to hold the first priority in their life. I've seen ministry that way. I was part of a ministry. I've seen ministry where at first it was just a desire to be doing what Father wants me to be doing, because what Father has done for me, what the Father has given me, what the Father can give me, I want to continue to do it. I've seen ministry over the years. It's just work. No love. Work. Work. Brothers and sisters, when you come to this house, you can gauge yourself. Why are you here? Are you coming to get into Word so you can grow and please your Father and walk into victory He has for you? Do you come here because you want to sense and be in His presence, knowing that it is Him and Him alone that will make you what you need to be, cause you to have what you need to have, cause you to do what you need to do? Amen. Amen. Now, well, brother, how can I really tell that I is if I ain't? In other words, that I am in my first love with the Lord or not. I'm going to give you 2 points. There are 2 main indicators which will let you know whether Jesus holds the place in your life that He should. The first one is passion, or lack of it. See, this fits. We talked about this Sunday. The Bible says, be fervent in spirit. The Bible says, be aglow in the spirit. The Bible says, maintain the fire, one translation, of the spirit. I told this Sunday morning in Sunday school, I was part of another ministry. I was just starting out and I was going to do some teaching, and there was a guy that was, quote, the big dog teacher there, and he was putting his deal out. He was going to teach for 8 weeks, and we all had to go in there and pick where we were going to sit for the next 8 Sunday mornings, and we had 2 that would present them. That's how that church ran. And the brother got up there and he goes, the Lord's been dealing with me about passion. Passion. Does anybody know what passion is? And I had, this was at Southwood, and I hadn't been there long, but I'm sitting there and I heard the Holy Spirit plain. He said, passion is fervent desire. And I just went, fervent desire. Fervent desire. And you know what it is? Your passion is a burning desire, listen, a burning desire for God and God alone. God and God alone. Passion. Passion causes you be consumed to desire to please Him, to have your life be a blessing to Him, to spend more time in His presence. Listen to this. How much of your thought life does He occupy? When your mind is free, does it go to Him or other places? Is it more fun for you to talk about your hobby, your business, your day at the office, your favorite football, baseball, basketball team, or to talk about the things of God? You know, I have been scrutinized, criticized by brethren and sisters in the body of Christ in these 40-something years. They will go behind my back, and you know what they'll say? That Tony Berry, all he wants to do is talk about the Bible. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not talking about being so heavenly minded you ain't any earthly good, but I'm being straight about it. When Cece and I first got in church, we were in a group of people who had calls on their life. Me and Brother Kenneth was talking about this the other day. There were 7 or 8 guys we knew that were called in ministry. Actually, most of them are in ministry today. James was one of them. Pastor James. But we had this deal. We had to have a Thompson Change reference Bible. You remember that, Kenneth? Had to have that reference Bible. Why? Not because everybody had one, because we wanted to know the Word of God. And it was one of the best reference Bibles at that time you could have. And I got me one. And then I gave it away to a guy who was a clerk for me in Rockingham because he had just got back right with the Lord. I went to my car and brought him that one in. And I had all my notes in. I said, here, his name was Craig Bob. Craig, and we called him Hoss. I said, here, Hoss, I'll give you something. I went back to church, and we had a bookstore in our church, and I told Pastor, I said, you need to order me another, no, Miss Jan, I said, order me another Thompson Change Reference Bible. Yeah, I wanted the Word. I walked around with you remember these little Walkmans? Remember those? I had a recharger deal, I could recharge batteries. I'd work in dairy and frozen food at Food Line with a cord running up my shirt going into my ear playing Bible tapes all day long. Huh? Huh? Are you bragging on you? No, I'm telling you this part. I had a passion to know what the Word of God said. I had a passion to know what He said about me, what He said I could do. Amen? So getting back, my question. What do you think about when your time is in your mind's free? Huh? You might think that I'm a fanatical person because of it. But remember this, and I thought about this verse. You know, Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Didn't He say that? Huh? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. Well, if you're in the Word, and you're in the presence of God, and you're in the Word, and you're in the presence of God, when you get around, I used to have, brother, I'm going to share my heart here. I used to have problems. I'll tell you what the problems were. I worked in the secular world. I was out there. They weren't Christians. They wanted to talk about the Lakers and the Knicks and the 76ers and my Green Bay Packers and all that stuff. And I was into that song. But when I got around to brethren, particularly at church on Tuesdays and Sundays, I wanted to talk about the Word. And I would go to church, and they'd be talking about who won the game last night. Did you see that game last night? Man, I stayed up 11:30. I watched that game, man. I'm going, now you got to understand, I was zealous for the Lord. I'm going, I wonder why he won't reading and praying last night at 12 o'clock. Huh? I had a problem. I had a problem. Why? Well, I mean, my problem was, I was a fanatic. My problem is not that I'm a fanatic now. My problem is, I told Pastor when I retired, I said, you're going to see a lot of me. I got time now to get more into this and more into this. Amen? Are you with me? Amen. You with me? Okay. So where's your passion? The second thing, in your first love. Second thing, where's your dependency? Who do you depend on? Read you. The second indicator that you have left your first love is that you are no longer dependent upon Jesus as you once were. He is the head of the church to whom you should be submitted. He is entitled to be the head of your life because He has brought you with a price of His blood. Just as we are totally dependent on Him for salvation, so should we depend on Him in every single area of our lives. Amen? It is our utter dependence completely on Him that keeps Him in the position of our first love. Reading. But when you are utterly dependent on Him, He can move. He can bring about His purpose with no interference. Meaning what? What are you talking about? Okay. You remember Deuteronomy? He uses Deuteronomy 8 a lot, praying about tithes. God warned Israel. He said, when you prosper, you start doing all right, I'm going to warn you. Don't forget who gave it to you. Deuteronomy 8. Don't forget where you got it. Because your human tendency will say, I'm doing pretty good. You know, look at me, I'm doing all right. I ain't got to be as dependent as I used to be on the Lord here. I'm doing pretty good. Huh? Let's get real. I'm doing all right. You know, Brother Hagin said it this way, we pray more out of compulsion than choice. You know, if you need healing in your body and you feel like you're about to die, guess what you're doing? Oh, Father, thank you that healing is the children's bread. I got to have some healing. But if you got this other area of your life that your finances is in a good place and your children are doing good and this is that, you just go, well, we're doing good there. Instead of remembering, God, it's because of you they're doing good. It's because of you I got this. It's because of you. You have to have that focus of being totally dependent on Him, knowing that you're nothing in yourself. Are you with me? Amen. Are you with me? Listen to this. But when you are utterly dependent on Him, He can move. He can bring about His purpose with no interference. God does not need your ability. He desires your availability. Get that? He don't need your ability. He's all you got, and you know He's all you got, and because of Him, you can do all things, and you know it's because of Him. When you get to that place, when you say, it ain't me, it's God, you put yourself available for God to put you where you need to be, doing what you need to be doing in a greater measure and a stronger anointing. Are you with me? God does not need your ability. He desires only your availability. Total and complete dependence on God for everything in our lives is necessary for His highest and best to be realized. You got that? I said this. The Word says that when we have been blessed by the Lord, we must take care not to forget that the Lord is the source of the blessings. And we will eventually be destroyed. Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 19. That's the human tendency. We come to Him when there's a crisis, a time of need, and we depend on His goodness, grace, and mercy. But as soon as He bails us out, we forget many times what He's done. That's the human part of you. It's that way. Take it back to Sunday morning. That's why you got to maintain fervency. That's why you got to have a fresh anointing every day. That's why you got to be being filled with the Spirit at all times. So you can maintain. You can maintain your first love to Him. Amen. Amen. I'm about through, but I got something to help us go forward with this. The solution. So what do we do if our passion has subsided, our dependency is no longer there? What do we do to get things going again? We do what the Lord said. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works. You have to do the first works if you're going to have the first love. In other words, start doing the works again that you did when you were first consumed with love for Him. And it will rekindle the passion. Did you hear me? It will rekindle. You have to start doing it again. Start back. Start back. Remember this, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to go on. Let me read you this verse. Many people make the mistake of waiting for passion to come and expect God to change them before they will do the works of love. That is backwards. When you do the works, it generates the passion. Remember, this is Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, the Heritage Dictionary says delight means to take your pleasure in, rejoice in, focus your attention on. That's what you do. You start doing the first works again. You delight yourself. You get in your prayer closet. You start praying. You get back in your Word. You start feeding on the Word of God. You get in the presence of God praying. Amen. You can kindle that fire. Marriage counselors tell, the Christian marriage counselors tell couples who say, well, we don't have the love we used to have. We just don't have the feelings we used to have. You know what they tell them? Do the first works again. The exact same thing. Tell her how much she means to you. Tell him how much he means to you. Tell them those things that you did in the beginning when they were your consumption. Did you hear that? Do it. They'll tell you that in counseling. Amen. So, Brother Tony, what are you saying? I'm saying that there's a solution here. Delight yourself in the Word. Start doing the first works. Amen. Think about Him. Talk about Him. Do those things that will be pleasing to Him. Look for opportunities to be with Him in your prayer closet. Look for those things. Hunger for those things. Make yourself rejoice in Him. It will cause your passion for God to burn hot once again. And the works you do will be a result of your genuine desire to do them. You will want to raise your hands in worship and give to the church and pray. The fire of your life in God will be rekindled. It's on us. We can do it. I don't want to be one that the presence of God is, not that I lose my salvation, but the presence of His anointing, say it that way, leaves me because I get in a point that I have lost my love, my passion, my dependency on Him. I don't want that. A lot of people come to church, charismatic, full gospel. They'll come in here, oh, praise God, hallelujah. And they'll worship God, but they're just doing it as a ritual, brothers and sisters. But then there are those that come here, they are on fire for God. You can tell it. They got it. They keep it. And those that want to get it back, the solution is do the first works again. God's calling us, the body of Christ, to do the first works again. Amen. I want to read you one verse and I'm going to close. I got it while ago walking and praying, if I can find it. I felt like the Lord said, you can close with this. So let me find it, brothers. Here you go. This is Romans 12:11. You know where it says, be fervent in spirit. This is in the J.B. Phillips New Testament. Listen to this. He talks about works, but he talks about something else. Let us not allow slackness to spoil our work. Let us keep the fires of the Spirit burning as we do our work for God. That pretty well sums it up. Let us keep the fire of the Spirit burning as we do our work for God. You can be fervent. You can maintain a fresh anointing. You can stay full. You can let the Word of God dwell in you richly. That keeps you from losing your first love. That helps you get back to a place that He is your first love. He is your first love. And I'll close with this too because it'll fit. Moses, when Stephen was preaching before they stoned him, he said Moses was taught all the verbal expressions the etiquette, everything of the Egyptians. He was taught how to speak. When Moses came out in the wilderness, out of the presence of God, out of the presence of being purged from the Egypt that was in his life, one of the first things Moses said to the Lord, he said, "Who am I? I cannot speak. I cannot speak." In other words, Moses' total dependency had become God and God alone. Amen? And that's what God's calling us to. We're living in the last hours. We're told to walk circumspect, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. We're told darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness to people. But God has said, "I want my glory to be seen upon you." Amen? Well, if you're not fervent in spirit, there ain't no glory going to be seen on you. Huh? Let's get real here. The glory will be seen on you if you maintain a fervent spirit, if you maintain a freshness every day in the presence of God. You remember, and I said this to Brother Streeter after Sunday morning, and I won't go there for time. It says that there would be times of refreshing from the presence of God. Peter preaching in Acts. He says, "Repent so and so, that you will experience times of refreshing." The word is not T-I-M-E, it's T-I-M-E-S. God wants you to have times of refreshing. You got to have constant renewals of the Spirit of God to be that person that maintains his first love. Amen? Okay, we'll pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, for the Word. We thank you for challenging us with the Word.